Food Matters with Aisling Larkin on Daisha Today.
With property partners Phelan Hertridge. Results that move you. Click propertypartnerswaterford.ie.
0833 333 975. Keep your texts and comments coming in. Somebody texting in about the turkey and defrosting the turkey, and how long or can you defrost it in the fridge, or do you put it outside on the windowsill?
I've seen it. I've seen it done. It is recommended to defrost in the fridge only.
Yes. Don't leave it on the windowsill because the cats and the dogs.
See the cats, yeah. And the little robins.
Yeah, yeah. No. Do you ever leave anything out on a counter? Do you have cats, no, or dogs?
Yes.
Do you ever leave anything out and like an animal has picked at it?
Occasionally. Not very often, but occasionally, yeah.
Yeah. We won't talk about it. It's all pleasant. It's all pleasant. Damien, slow down day. Are they for real? The ring road from the Cork Road to the regional hospital. It should be called Mondello Park. The speed is unbelievable. You had to come in that way, didn't you? They are fast on the ring road, aren't they?
They are.
Oh, Jeannie Mac, they are. They're speeding there. The parochial nature, says this texter, of some councillors talking about one festival not getting money and the other getting money. We need unity. Nah, come on now. If one festival is promised money and the other gets money and they don't get money, 100%. I know Aisling, for example, has been part of many different food festivals and it does need government support. A lot of these do need government support. Willie Nelson, City of New Orleans. And what about... okay, we'll come back to that. How are you, Aisling?
I'm great.
Thanks very much for coming down to us.
My absolute pleasure.
Or coming up to us.
Yes.
You're coming from Dungarvan to Waterford City.
What I would say down, coming down to Waterford.
Coming down to Waterford.
Coming down to Waterford.
Going up to Cork.
Yes, exactly. That's it.
Up to Dublin?
Up to Dublin, yeah.
But down to Waterford.
Yeah, I know, it doesn't make any sense. Sure it doesn't. I just thought of that now. Yeah, I am. I'm up to Dublin.
Just on the turkey, defrosting the turkey. So what happens if you have the turkey in the freezer? How long should you defrost it? What should you do?
You want it like the day before, fully defrosted the day before. So you're taking it out on the 23rd, you're defrosting it between the 23rd and the 24th, and it's fully defrosted in the fridge, ready to go for Christmas morning. And take it out, bring it up to room temperature, maybe just for 30 minutes out of the fridge,
right,
before you actually put it in the oven.
Because if you defrost it on the counter, if you take it out straight from the frozen section, put it on the counter, the outside of it will defrost quicker than the inside, won't it?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, like it's real food safety stuff, like, and it's one of the things you want to be checking all the time. It's just so, like, the rule of thumb is defrost it in the fridge. Defrost it in the fridge, have it ready to go. And then I suppose when you're cooking it, you know, you've got options with your turkey in that you can have your full turkey, you can have your boned and rolled, you can have your crown. And I think it does depend on who you're feeding, you know, and what kind of a crowd is coming. The big turkey is a gorgeous showstopper, you know, it's beautiful. But if you don't need the wings and the legs and you're not a big fan of it, maybe like the crown is better for you, or the boned and rolled, you know, or you can ask your butcher to cut the legs off. And like,
you're starting World War III here now with this, right?
Right.
Because
okay.
Some people will say, I want a leg of turkey.
I know, yeah.
But somebody else who's cooking will say the crown is far better and it's far more economical and you get a lot more out of it.
Yeah.
No, I want a leg.
Yeah, yeah.
And nobody else will eat another leg.
I know.
It's real annoying, isn't it?
It is. But you know what? Like, when you're finished your dinner, I suppose if you shred up a bit of that leg while it's still a little bit hot, it's much more difficult to do when it's cold. And you take some of the juices that it's been cooking in and you just kind of baste it in that, put it in like a lunchbox or, a Tupperware container, whatever, let it cool down and put it in the fridge. That the next day will be absolutely beautiful, or later on in a sandwich, because you're getting all the golden kind of juices that it's been basted in. And that brown meat has so much flavour, like, it's gorgeous. On Christmas Day, like, myself and Dad will be the first two out and we'll fight over the wing. Like, he gets one wing and I get the other wing.
So,
and we say nothing to no one.
You do the full turkey?
Full turkey.
Legs, wings, the whole lot?
The whole lot, yeah. So make sure it fits in your oven. And I know that sounds like such a small thing, but like, do a little test run before Christmas Day. Make sure you have a tray that fits in the oven.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't go sideways, does it go long ways? Because sometimes if you're planning and going long ways, the oven door doesn't close. Like, it's genuinely, it's something that I've come across time and time again. Mm. Just make sure that turkey fits in the oven before Christmas Day.
Turkey bag. Another question. What do you think?
Yes.
Yes?
Big, big fan.
Are you?
Big fan.
Right.
Yeah. I think it keeps them really, really moist. I think it locks in a lot of the flavour.
But somebody, sorry, just texted a while ago saying, how did we manage for many decades without the turkey bags? Why, they're saying, why should I use the turkey bag now?
You think
it makes it better?
I think it keeps it really moist. Yeah, I do. But look, ovens are different to what they were. Like, I know, right? I know this is such an anecdotal thing. But my nanny has an old gas cooker, right? And anything that's cooked in that tastes better than anything else out of anybody else's oven. And I don't know why. Like, I can't explain it to you. And I guarantee you there's people listening who would say the same thing. So I think ovens have changed between fan ovens and, you know, the slower ovens. And there's definitely something around that. If you're happy to take your turkey out and baste it, you know, and keep it going, like, not a bother, then it'll keep it really, really moist. Or if you want to do that lattice effect where you're doing the crisscross with the bacon on top, like, all of those things will work. But it does take, I suppose, just a little bit of work, you know.
Where do you stand on the stuffing? Where should the stuffing go?
You can do in the cavity, but you only want to do about one tenth of the weight of the bird, if you're going to do it. So you don't overdo it. And again, it's that food safety thing. You just want to make sure that the heat, I suppose when you've packed the cavity, the heat, it has to go through the stuffing. The stuffing is very, very dense. So you want to allow that air to flow all the way through. So under the skin is beautiful. Or, like, I would do it in a separate tray.
I would just do it in a separate tray,
and then everybody's safe, and you kind of get the crispy, crunchy bits around the edge, and then you get the kind of more moist bits in the middle. And actually, talking to the turkey, like, a lot of times you can put the butter under the skin. So if you're happy just to get your moist butter, put that under the skin, massage that in. You can do a herb butter. One year, I did an orange butter. There was a little bit of orange zest and rosemary in it. Did not go down well. Never again, I was told. After that, it was told, no.
Is that from Daddy or Mammy?
It was from Mammy, yeah.
Mammy.
No, didn't work. No, not hope.
And did you tell her before you served it to her and that she tasted?
I said, I'm going to do a little butter on the turkey. Oh, yeah, fine.
You didn't mention the orange zest?
No, I didn't, no.
So she tasted it?
Yeah, no need for the orange zest at all. Keep it traditional, I would say. And, like, actually, out of everything, like, don't try something different on Christmas Day. If you want to try a bit of an orange butter with rosemary, do with a chicken. Two Sundays later, don't do it with your Christmas turkey where you've got like 15 people relying on you to have something. The other thing is, like, you can get muslin cloths. You soak them in melted butter and you can kind of drape that over the turkey going in the oven. But look, like I said, either or. Do you know what I mean? I think as long as you're getting the cooking times right. So a really good rule of thumb is 45 minutes per kg and then 45 minutes over. So add on an extra 45 minutes and then take it out and rest it for at least 45 minutes. When you're resting it, a layer of parchment paper followed by a layer of tin foil. And then this one's a bit radical, but it does work. You take a big bath towel, you put it in your tumble dryer or on your radiator in front of the fire, you heat it up so it's nice and warm, and then after you've wrapped it in the parchment and the tinfoil, put that big warm towel over it and it will keep it really nice and warm.
A big bath towel?
Yeah.
I've seen people put tea towels on it, but it's the same type of thing.
Same thing, and heat them up. Like, so if you can put them in the tumble dryer for a few minutes and just heat them up.
And a dry bath, a clean bath towel.
A clean one, absolutely. Not one that you picked up off the floor now. No, we won't do that, Damien. We definitely won't do that.
No, really good idea. So just explain why we do that. What happens when you take meat out of an oven? Why does it need to settle?
Yeah, it needs to relax. So the muscles have all contracted and they're all a little bit tense and they just need to relax again. You want to keep in all of those juices. So it's about the tenderness of the bird. It's about the juiciness of the bird. So I think they're really important. And then all of those juices that come off the turkey, like, spoon those into your gravy. Like, do not waste those. Like, we call that liquid gold. I mean, the flavour that is in there is just incredible. And then under the turkey, don't forget, you've got two little oysters like you do on a roast chicken. So the wings, which are gorgeous. You've got the legs, which I love part of the leg. And then when you're flipping the bird over, if you've carved it, right underneath, there's these two, we call them little oysters, with your thumbs, just pop them out. They are the most succulent, juicy piece of the turkey. They're the chef's secret. So whoever's cooking gets those.
You've lots on your Instagram page. Very important. We've talked a lot over the last while about making sure you get local ingredients, local potatoes, local turkey. You give some simple advice as well. Make sure to add cling film, tinfoil, parchment paper, freezer bags, everything to the shopping list as well.
Yeah, because they're the things on Christmas morning that you go to reach for and you're like, flip, I've no tinfoil or I didn't get any extra.
Yeah.
And the wide tinfoil works really, really well because it fits over the big roasting tray.
Making drinks, etc. Give somebody else the job.
Oh, yeah.
Delegate jobs.
Totally. Delegate the jobs. So, like, if you're having canapés earlier on, like, get somebody to do those. If you're having a starter, get somebody to bring the soup or the gorgeous little goat cheese salad or the blue cheese salad or whatever you're having, little prawn salad. And keep your starter really, really light. Really light. Like, you don't need a big, heavy starter because you want to have an appetite for your dinner. A lot of people won't do a starter because they'll say it'll ruin ruin the dinner, you know.
You've given out some of the details then in terms of the turkey and the consideration, whole bird, a crown, boned or rolled, and the quick guide for that in terms of the kgs. Then you've got the leftovers and dinner for the next day. Mentioning obviously as well, checking that it fits into the oven. Making sure then as well. Talk to me about brining. What is brining?
Yeah, it's something the Americans do. Very Thanksgiving for the Americans. So it's come from kind of that part of the world. So it's basically taking your turkey and putting it into a salt water solution. So 2 litres of water, 100 grams of salt. Leave it there for 24 hours. The idea is that you will have one of the most moist turkeys known to man. We don't really do it here. I don't do it. But you can do it. So you basically put in your salt water and you can put in things like your rosemary, your oranges, and kind of get in a little bit of those flavours. Then wash it off, rinse it all off, leave it sit for kind of 90 minutes, and then you're going to roast it like you normally would, basting it as you go. But yeah, it's an interesting one. But like I said, the best piece of guidance is just like, don't try anything different for Christmas Day. When it comes to the ham, cook your ham the day before. So cook your ham on Christmas Eve and then glaze it and bake it on Christmas Day. So when the turkey comes out, that's when your oven goes into like overdrive in terms of your potatoes, in terms of your ham. So I do a lovely thing. And it's a really good top tip actually with the ham. A lot of times we see this beautiful scoring kind of crisscross with the cloves and the lovely glaze. But what people need to just check is when the ham comes out, it's been boiled, there's the layer of fat that sits on top. Yeah. But on top of that, there's a layer of like skin or rind. And a lot of people just try and crisscross that. And then they don't know why it didn't crisp up in the oven and why it didn't glaze. So you just have to take your little knife, run it under. You'll feel it. It almost like naturally kind of peels off. And just be sure to take that off. Then you crisscross in the fat, pop your little cloves in. And I have a lovely little recipe for the glaze. So it's a whiskey marmalade one. 4 tablespoons of marmalade, 2 tablespoons of whiskey, tablespoon of mustard. And then that's it. You just put that over and pop it in the oven, depending on the size of your ham, for maybe like 30, 40 minutes.
And is that acceptable to Mammy and Daddy?
Yes.
That's okay.
It's beautiful. Delicious. It's lovely. And then you get all the, like, you know, the kind of gnarly little crispy burnty bits on the edge. I love burnt bits on the edge. They're just delicious.
People have different, I suppose, glazes that they like on hams. Others just like a simple glaze. Others will put a bit of orange zest, or as you say, marmalade. They mix up
brown
different
sugar.
Brown sugar.
Brown sugar is a big one, yeah.
Yeah.
You see, when you've got the marmalade, you already have the sugar in the marmalade.
Okay.
So you're getting that caramelization that happens from just simply the marmalade.
So that whiskey marmalade thing that you were saying, that works very, very well.
Yeah, and in the supermarkets, there is jars now of whiskey marmalade.
Yeah,
so instead of getting a plain marmalade, get your whiskey marmalade. And I mean, the whiskey is optional, by the way. You can totally just leave it out and just use your mustard and your marmalade. And it's really nice.
And what about the cloves? Where do you put the cloves? How many cloves would you put onto it?
So each crisscross, at the centre of each crisscross, stood in a clove. So you'll probably go through like 20, maybe 25 cloves. But they're very subtle flavour. You know, they're really, really nice. I think that's a lovely one. But get your ham, like I said, cooked the day before. Then when it comes to your veggies and your sides.
Just before we go on to that.
Yes.
How do I make sure the turkey is fully cooked?
Oh, buy yourself a digital thermometer.
Digital.
Oh, gee, it's one of the they're not expensive. They're a couple of euro. You know, you'll pick one up for maybe 7 or 8 euro. Like, you know, a lot of the hardware shops have them. The homeware shops have them. They're no longer expensive. And you're just going to stick it in. So you want to make sure it's over 70 degrees, over 72 degrees, between 72 and 74 degrees Celsius. It's like driving your car. Like, would you drive your car without a speedometer? It'd be pretty tricky to figure out what speed you're doing. Like, it is pretty tricky to figure out for sure that your turkey's cooked. Like, the old school way is you take your knife, you cut in at where the leg and the wing kind of is, where the leg is, cut it in. As long as your juices run clear, you're done. But I always think it's almost grand when it's yourselves. But you know, if you're having other people over, you want to make sure that everything is cooked properly. So the digital thermometer is a great way to do that.
If you don't have a digital thermometer, what else would you do?
Yeah, so cut it at the wing there, cut it at the leg, and just make sure those juices run clear. And you don't want to see any pink. You know, you want your flesh to be really nice and white.
You've mentioned also what you do when you take the turkey out. What then in terms of the ham, in terms of the boiling it?
Yeah.
You're saying doing all that the day before.
Day before, absolutely. Do it the day before. I would say kind of bring it to a gentle boil, simmer it then, and you're kind of looking at, for every 500 grams of ham, you're looking at about 20 minutes to simmer it, and then add on your 20 minutes as well. When it comes out then, wrap it up, either put a tea towel over it or a little bit of cling film, and just kind of almost allow it to steam in its own juices. Okay. Then take that rind off, and then we're going to do our glaze on it, which is lovely.
Okay, talk to me about vegetables and sides, please.
Yeah, so I've brought you a little roasty potato. We've a lovely little plate of stuff here, but I've brought you the roasty potato. So again, for me, Christmas Eve is the day that all those jobs are done. So this is the day that you're prepping your veg. So I suppose a couple of core staples, if we look at carrots, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, red cabbage. So carrots, I would par- so for all of these, right, there's a simple, simple technique, which is shock and refresh. So this is where you're going to cook them, you're going to boil them, parboil them. And then, so let's say it's your carrots, you're going to put them on for 7 minutes, 7, 8 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, depending on the volume that you're doing. Have a bowl of ice cold water sitting in your sink. So drain them with through your colander and then plunge them into the ice cold water. What that does is it keeps the beautiful vibrant colour and it stops them overcooking. And then they're pretty much done. So you don't have to wait for the full, you know, the full blast of them to cook. You know, everything is half done. You're essentially kind of finishing your dishes on Christmas Day as opposed to having to cook everything from scratch. And then what I would do is put a little bit of honey on them and dried tarragon. Fresh tarragon can be tricky to get. Dried works beautifully. So a little drizzle of honey, little sprinkle of tarragon. You've got something that just goes from an ordinary old boiled carrot to something that's really lovely, like really, really lovely. Cauliflower cheese. I love cauliflower cheese. So again, shock and refresh, blanch and then shock your veggies. Do that with your cauliflower, with your florets. Again, cauliflower will take much less, so about 4 minutes. And then make up a lovely bechamel sauce. So you're talking 50 mils of butter, 50 mils of flour, 500 mils of milk. And then what I do is four cheeses. So I'll try and do a cheddar, a Gruyere, a blue cheese, and do a combination of all your cheeses. Pour that cheesy, creamy sauce over the cauliflower. A couple of little breadcrumbs over the top. And that's sitting there since Christmas Eve. And then that's just going in the oven and finishing on Christmas Day.
We've only got 4 minutes left. Big discussion about Brussels sprouts this morning and during the week on The Breakfast Show. You're suggesting chestnuts, butter and sea salt.
Yes, chestnuts. They come vac-packed, cooked. They're in the supermarkets at the moment. So you just dice them up. So again, cook those Brussels sprouts in the boiling water, take them out, plunge them into the ice cold water, do that on Christmas Eve. They're sitting in a bowl ready, put damp kitchen paper on top of them in the fridge, take them out then on Christmas Day into a frying pan, little bit of butter, little bit of oil, those chestnuts, toss them through. Gorgeous.
I've never had chestnuts. I saw them in a shop yesterday and I was going to buy them because I was looking at Jamie Oliver's Christmas thing the other night, and I was thinking, oh no, it might be a bit too dodgy in the sense I've never done it before, because you're saying not to try something different.
Yeah, I know. They're lovely.
They're lovely, aren't they?
They're not overpowering. They just add a kind of a little nuttiness.
Right.
And if you didn't want to do the chestnuts, you could do like little almonds or something like that, and just hazelnuts are absolutely gorgeous. So I have all of these recipes, and I actually brought us some gorgeous canapés as well today. So I brought us some garlic mushrooms, and these are air fryer recipes. So we've got the garlic mushrooms with garlic mayonnaise. We've got the brie with a little bit of crab apple jelly. We have truffle mac and cheese, little bites and little balls. And then there is my mom's chicken liver pate. She made us chicken liver pate with cherries, and they're just macerated little cherries. And in the supermarket you can buy a black cherry jam, so you use fresh cherries and the black cherry jam, and then smoked salmon pate with pickled cucumbers. So these are your lovely little nibbles.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, they're
okay.
Really, really nice.
Will I taste your mum's pate first?
Do. Dig in and have a taste, for sure. And look, all of
What's
recipes...
What's the secret of a good pate? Get your mum to make it.
Get your mum to make it. Chicken livers, if you can get organic chicken livers where possible. Chicken livers are much more difficult to get than they were. So what you have to do is, like, I would order them from the butcher. So you order them, just give the butcher a couple of days in advance, order them, and then you kind of trim off any of the sinew, fry them in a little bit, a large amount of butter. A very large amount of butter with a little bit of thyme, a little bit of garlic, splash of brandy, and then you let them cool down, put them in the food processor with some cream, blitz it down until you have your pate, put it in a jar, and then you melt butter and you pour the melted butter over the top, and that kind of helps to preserve it. And you'll get a couple of days out of the pate in the fridge, but it's really tasty. And I love to serve it on brioche. I think brioche works really, really nice.
That is just delicious now.
Isn't it?
I know there's some farmers as well do their livers as well,
yes,
don't they?
Yeah. So if you can get them local and you know somebody, amazing. Just amazing. And the flavours, you know the freshness, like it's beautiful, really nice.
But if
nice.
Not, as you say, in the supermarkets.
Or your butcher, go to your butcher.
Better
yeah,
off.
And order them from your butcher. And they'll take a couple of days to come in, but they're lovely.
Yeah. Gravy, somebody's just texted in. Give us a quick tip on gravy, please.
There's a lot of people who will put all the roast veggies in the bottom. They'll sit the turkey on the trivet. They'll gather all of those. They'll mash up all the veg. They'll strain it all out. I would say if you're not going to go to that hassle, and let's just say you're doing gravy granules, right? You can pimp up your gravy granules to be something really nice. So let's say you're using gravy granules as your gravy. Put in a splash of white wine, maybe 50 mils of white wine. Get some fresh rosemary, get some fresh thyme. Let that infuse in the saucepan. So make up your gravy, have it sitting there, put your wine in, put your fresh herbs in. Don't make it on water. Buy yourself a really good stock. So like there's bone broth, Sadie's Kitchen bone broth, there's Carol's chicken stock. The supermarkets have their own brand, fresh chicken stocks. They're beautiful. Make it on one of those fresh stocks instead of water. That will change your gravy. And you can always buy, like in the supermarket, they have really nice poultry gravies, like pre-made ones. So you could buy some of that and mix it in with your own gravy and allow plenty of gravy. Like you're talking about 120, 150 mils of gravy per person. It's like make more gravy than you probably think you need because it won't go astray.
We haven't had time to get into the crispy garlic and truffle mushrooms, the melty brie, the prawns and phyllo pastry. That was just delicious there now. That was really, really nice.
Really nice.
Well done.
So the mushrooms are lovely, right? So they're chestnut mushrooms. In the supermarket at the moment, there is...
This guy here, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's cream cheese and it has porcini in it and truffle.
Oh, I'm going to have that
now. So you basically put that in and, yeah, and then dip it in egg and breadcrumbs and then spritz it with oil and air fry them for 8 minutes in the air fryer. And they come out. So if you like a garlic mushroom, sometimes I find there's more batter than there is mushroom, you know, whereas this is just beautiful. And that's Moran's homemade garlic mayonnaise. If you want a beautiful garlic mayonnaise, that is absolutely gorgeous. It's really nice. The mac and cheese is make up a batch of mac and cheese, grate in parmesan, a little drop of truffle oil, which again the supermarkets are selling. Let it cool down, roll it, shape it into balls, dip it in egg and breadcrumbs, and fry it. And that's a lovely one as well.
This is the last day that we have our sponsorship with the wonderful Phelan Hertrick Property Partners for the last 6 months. So if anybody wants to get involved in sponsoring this item, please do. They've been brilliant and they've been great for sponsoring the last 6 months.
Thank you very much.
Aisling, thank you so much for all the work you do for this item every week. Genuinely really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome. And all these recipes are in the cookbook, by the way, just to let you know. So you can download the cookbook. If you go to my website, aislinglarkin.ie, or the Instagram page, and there's a full cookbook. There's 100 pages, over 65 recipes, everything that we've talked about, and so much more. There's a full 48-hour time planner to get you organised if you've never done the Christmas dinner before, to keep you on track. Download that. It's a really, really lovely resource.
Happy Christmas to
you
and all the family.
And all the team. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Aisling.
Food Matters with Aisling Larkin on Daisha Today.
With Property Partners Barry Hertridge. Results that move you. Click propertypartnerstremor.ie.